This is Jim Peek at MySuccessGateway.com, and I've got a fantastic call today with Mr. Patrick Wanis. You can find him at PatrickWanis.com. And Patrick and I are going to discuss greed, character, fear, and succeeding at any cost. So, Patrick, I picked up an article in a magazine called Information Week by Rob Preston, and the title of the article, Do We Value Character or Just Pretend We Do? And in the article, he quotes a recent survey of 29,760 randomly selected high school students. We're talking about young kids by the Josephson Institute, which focuses on ethics. 64% of the students or the respondents said that they had cheated on a test within the past year. Of that, then there was another 36% that said that they had used the internet to plagiarize an assignment. Some 30% admitted to stealing from a store within the past year. And 23% said that they had stolen from a parent or other relative. Yet, 93% of the students said that they were satisfied with their own ethics and character, and 77% said that when it comes to doing what is right, I am better than most people I know.
Well, I think, Jim, as a human behavior expert, there's a couple of points here. The first thing is that what you're seeing this is as a reflection of the kind of messages that both parents and society are sending to the young people, to children. Now, we know that in adolescence and throughout the teenage years, it is common for children to break rules. It is common for children to steal. But when it's becoming much broader, where they're plagiarizing and they're concluding by saying, hey, I still think my ethics are okay, I still think I have a sense of integrity, and I think I'm better than the person next to me, what that is telling you is that they've completely changed their level of morality and standards. It's been lowered further and further. I said that I believe that this is a reflection of the message being sent out for a number of reasons. One, 20, 30, 40 years ago, we had a structure or an institution where religion was the primary focus or the source of our messages regarding what's right and what's wrong, you know, basic morality. That has since broken down and changed and shifted and morphed and transformed into almost a free-for-all. The next aspect is that the message that's being sent out from society in general is you must succeed at all costs. Then the definition of success isn't about personal inner peace or helping other people or being happy in your relationships with yourself or with your family. It's about the attainment of money, wealth, and material possessions. The third aspect, which would create this concept that we want to succeed at any cost, is the breakdown of the family unit. And what I mean by that is, just recently I was speaking with a senior administrator within the New York school system who's relating to me the major challenge that they're having with children. The children are coming to school and they're almost beyond control. Not in the sense that they don't sit down and say, yes, sir, no, sir, but they cannot study, they're not able to concentrate, and they're not only just answering back to teachers, but they're cussing at teachers and saying, F you, screw you, and they're breaking the rules. I mean, one kid that was 14 peeing in a bottle in a classroom, another 14-year-old kid smoking pot openly. What this is saying, and this is the discussion I had with this senior administrator, is that all of these problems are beginning at home, Jim. They're beginning with the parents. The parents don't have any sense of stability. They don't have any sense of right and wrong, so they're not able to teach it to their children. And the children aren't getting what they need. Now, that's the parents. We mentioned religion. The third is society. When I say society, I'm not just talking about the media. I'm talking about the people who are meant to be the role models and examples. Usually, we're referring to politicians. Now, we know that politicians have been corrupt throughout the years. It's not like we can say, well, it only happened this year or last year. We can go all the way back to Nixon. But today we're seeing it on a much grander scale, whether it was Tim Mahoney involved in the sex scandal, whether it was John Edwards, whether it was Governor Spitzer, or the latest, the Illinois Governor, Rod Blagojevich. Now, I don't want to sit here and say he's guilty until it's proven he's guilty. But the evidence against him is very, very strong, where they're saying, look, we have a wiretap which says he's ready to sell the seat of Barack Obama for the right amount of money. And he, according to the wiretap, it's alleged that he says, I want to make money. This seat is worth money. Now, that's simply, Jim, is a reflection of the greed that we're seeing throughout society. Then it spreads to the messages on television or via the messages on television that's telling you you've got to have a bigger television, you've got to have a bigger house, you've got to have a bigger car, you've got to get this new thing, you've got to get that new thing. What does that translate to? We then see incidents like Walmart. Walmart isn't just a few people rushing to get, you know, a couple of good deals on some bargains. It's an example of blatant greed and fear, where these people are lining up 5 and 6 hours before the store opens to get what? A discount on some physical material possessions. And why do they want it? Is it because, hey, we're not making a lot of money, we've got a tight budget? No, it's because they're trying to fill an inner emptiness. They're not happy in their lives, they're not happy with who they are, and they hope that, hey, if I get this at a good price, at a good discount, if I get this thing that I couldn't normally get, or if I get more of this thing, I will be happy. And it's not working, it doesn't work. The result is that someone is murdered. You know, whether we want to say he was accidentally killed, he died, at the end of the day, someone's life has been taken because of other people's greed and fear. This fear, Jim, relates to what I refer to as, there may not be enough for me. There isn't enough to go around. What happens if I'm left behind? What happens if I'm left out? What happens if Jim Peake gets more than me? Then maybe I won't be good enough. I won't like myself. Maybe I just won't feel good about myself unless I have more, unless I have as much as the person next to me or more than the person next to me. Here's the other consequence of what we're discussing. The foreclosure, the economy. All across the board, we are seeing that the real breakdown, the real cause of the suffering that's going on right now is greed. It's across the board, Jim. It began with the people at the top, the mortgage brokers, the mortgage lenders, many of whom were engaged in fraud, falsifying documents and applications so they could give money to people. And it goes even above that to the very executives and CEOs. Then we have all of these executives and CEOs of the car industry who didn't care about the people that they represent. They didn't care about the workers. They didn't care about the environment. They didn't care about the economy. They cared about their own individual economy, and that's greed. Again, this goes back to the study you referred to. There's no character here. Character means that you're connected to morality and standards, principles, and values. You care about what's right and wrong. You care about doing the right thing. And doing the right thing, I know, changes each decade according to how the law changes and according to our religious or moral beliefs. But we know what's innately right or wrong based on one simple test. Who will this hurt? And when we say, well, it won't hurt if I steal from this big company because it's a big faceless company, that's not true because someone will pay the price. And many of these CEOs and chairmen and other people at the top were stealing from their company, someone ended up paying for it. Whether it led to the complete destruction or collapse of many of these big banks and many of their shareholders. And, you know, there are many people now who say, you know, I lost all my savings. I lost my 401k, or I lost the money that my mother gave me. So we're seeing the results and the consequences, the ramifications of greed that's across the board. And Blagojevich is just one example of so many, Jim, that we don't care anymore about character. All we think that counts is I must have enough. I must have more. And no matter how much we get, it will never satisfy the inner emptiness. So go ahead.
I was just going to say, so how can we collectively as a society satisfy this emptiness?
Well, you know, that's the perfect question, because we all think that, you know, happiness isn't tomorrow. It's the next day. It's not coming now. It'll come when I retire, when the kids grow up, when I send my kids to college, when I get the bigger car, when I get the bigger house, when I go on the vacation. The first thing that that's telling you is that it's always delayed. That means it's not happening. It'll come later. You have to learn to enjoy what you have right now, where you are right now, and what you're doing right now. If you don't like what you're doing, understand that you have a choice. Now, it's true, Jim, that there are some people, such as, you know, a single mother or a single father, who have financial pressures and responsibilities to their children, that they must make X amount of dollars. So maybe you have to experience the job that you're in right now and stay with it until you can move up. But step number one with that is simplify your life. You don't have to give your kids all those toys that you think will give them happiness, because what you're teaching them is your happiness will come through the toys. Now, as you know, I work with high-profile clients. I work with celebrities. I also work with the average person. It doesn't matter what their background is. Every one of them, as an adult, will sit down, and when we connect with them at a deep level, they'll tell me that what they wanted above everything, the money, the toys, was more time with their parents. More, not just quality time, quantity time. That means hanging out with mum or dad, sitting down, talking, asking questions, playing, laughing, doing things together, bonding, connecting, and sharing. Most of us have forgotten, we think, oh, all we need to do is give them money. So, for example, I mentioned that I was speaking or consulting with a senior administrator within the New York school system, and she was talking about one child that has such great anger issues, and the father seems to think that all he needs to do with this child is just spend more money on him, give him more money, give him more toys, give him more things. But that's not what's making the child angry. It's not a lack of those things. It's that the child doesn't have enough time, love, affection, appraise, recognition, approval, a listening ear from and with his father. So step number one, get into the present moment. Now, there's a balance here. I don't mean get into the present moment and go for instant gratification. I mean, learn to appreciate what you have, what you're doing, where you are right now. Number one, be grateful for what you got. Number two, ask yourself, what is it about me that I don't like? What am I trying to escape from? I just recently taped a TV show with VH1 on shocking celebrity divorces. And it's exactly the same thing that I'm teaching there, which is about get in touch with who you are. What do you like about yourself? What don't you like about yourself? What are you trying to escape? What are you trying to hide? So I said that in every case when someone's involved in any sort of addiction, you know, or whether it's an addiction or whether it's alcohol, whether it's drugs, we often use that as a way of escaping something about ourselves, either a painful feeling or something we don't like about ourselves. Or we're using it because we've become so numb that we're trying to find a way to feel again. So face yourself and say, what is it that I don't like about myself? You know, and if you think it's your overweight, learn to either love your body or take the action necessary. Get up and do more exercise. Eat more healthy. There are steps that will help you. If you look at yourself and you're able to admit to yourself, I don't like myself because I don't feel good enough, okay, who told you you're not good enough? Is it society? Is it your parents? Who programmed you this way? And then we can start working on that. If it's that you don't like yourself and you feel guilty because you did or didn't do something, then work on forgiving yourself. Sometimes, you know, I have a client who's suffering from guilt because he feels that maybe he was partly responsible for the death of his mother. Not because he did anything bad to her, but just because he didn't feel he put enough pressure on her to see different kinds of doctors. Now, he didn't do anything wrong, but he feels that he did something wrong. So when we work together, we help him to forgive himself if he thinks he did something wrong. It's not just about telling him, hey, you didn't do anything wrong, because logically he knows that. But we get to the place and say, look, did you do the best you could? Was there anything else you could have done? Would she have listened? Is it your fault? Are you responsible, really? And so that person gets to a place of forgiving themselves, understanding that, you know, sometimes maybe we do make mistakes. We're not perfect. So we have to look at ourselves and say, what is it that I really need to make myself feel better? If you're a man or a woman, you're not in a relationship, no matter how many possessions you buy, if you don't have the love that you're looking for, the possessions, the toys, the gifts, the things will not compensate for the lack of love. And you know that I teach every relationship begins with you. So number one, start to learn to love, like, and accept yourself by forgiving yourself and everyone else. Then you can open yourself up to receive love. Now, I know you're thinking, well, that's such a weird thing. We've gone from one extreme to character and morals and values to loving and accepting yourself. Well, Jim, the point here is that if you respect yourself and you treat yourself with respect, you'll treat others with respect, and then you'll think, you know, I don't want to cheat because I won't feel better about myself. I don't want to steal because I'll be taking something away from someone else and I won't be able to enjoy what's really not mine. What I didn't give anything for that. I actually took. So there are many levels to look at it, but it all comes down to raising your self-esteem. Because the more you truly respect yourself and you value yourself, the more you respect and value others. So that you'll go, I don't need to have this amount of money to like myself more. Because as you know, I said this a moment ago, I work with clients who have the fame, who have the money, who have the power, who have the fortune, the wealth, and they still don't necessarily like themselves. They're still not necessarily happy. Because what they found after all of this accumulation, all of this time, that they gave up so much time, energy, effort, and in some cases even part of their soul to get all this money, and it's done nothing. It hasn't fulfilled them. It hasn't made them feel better about themselves. So again, ask yourself, you know, what do I really believe about myself? Who am I? What's my identity? So for example, I was talking on camera with VH1 about celebrity divorces, and I was mentioning Ronnie Wood, the Rolling Stones band member. And you know, he ends up going off with an 18-year-old cocktail waitress. Is this real love, or is this someone who's refusing to accept that he's now over 60 or whatever age he is, and it's time to move to another phase of your life, another evolution, that life isn't simply about trying to hold on to the past or trying to stay young or trying to be the rock star or the icon, that it's okay to become another person and still contribute to society, which then leads us to the next point. Focus more on giving and helping others rather than, hey, what can I get from all of this? So if Governor Blagojevich is guilty, what was his approach? If he's guilty of the charges, what was his approach? What can I get from this Senate seat? Money. What can I take from this? Versus, how can I give back to the state of Illinois? How can I make sure that if I'm responsible legally for filling this seat, let me look for the best candidate. Let me look for someone that's going to really help this state. But he's not thinking like that. So I was rather enthused and inspired by the words of, you know, President-elect Barack Obama, who says, this seat doesn't belong to any politician. It belongs to the people. His very words there are the approach that I'm directing myself towards, which is think about how you can help other people. Stop thinking about how much you can take, because I promise you, no matter how much you take, it'll never fill the inner emptiness, and we get a greater sense of satisfaction from helping other people. So occasionally stop, and if you find yourself almost out of control, ask yourself, you know, what am I feeling right here? Stop and observe your own responses. What am I thinking? What am I feeling? Where am I moving towards? No amount of money will make up for a lack of love as a child, or if your parents were abusive, or if your parents didn't talk to you, or if your parents never told you you're good enough, or if they didn't spend time with you or hang out with you or encourage or praise you or tell you that you belong to the family. No amount of power, no amount of fame will make up for a lack of attention as a child. Work on healing those issues. Because, Jim, you know I've lived in Africa, in West Africa. I lived in England. I lived in Spain. I lived in Mexico. I lived in the Caribbean. I lived in Cozumel. I lived in Puerto Vallarta. I grew up in Australia. I've traveled around the world. And I have found some of the poorest, least educated people to be some of the happiest people I've ever met in my life. Not because they were dumb that they were happy, but because they realized that happiness doesn't come from outside. It comes from an appreciation, from even from gratitude. You know, sometimes it takes me a while to even, you come out of a relationship that you thought in that moment was so horrible and so painful, and maybe the other person rejected you, and if you can get to the place of being grateful, for that relationship, you can find happiness. And you think, Patrick, how can I be grateful for a crappy relationship where my partner cheated on me? Well, you'll only be grateful if you learn something from it and if you hook onto your issues. So, for example, I had a recent newsletter that was teaching about the separation of the other person's stuff and your stuff. So I was in a relationship with this girl who brought out the most romantic aspect of me, but she also drove me absolutely nuts, and sometimes we would argue into the night. What I also noticed long after the relationship ended was the night before every major TV appearance of mine, we would argue. When I was in the relationship, I blamed her. I'd say she would always argue before my TV shows. As I spent more time thinking about it, I went, well, why would she do that? Oh, because it took attention away from her when I'd be on the TV, because her father was a performer and he never gave her any attention. Okay, well, why would I contribute to the argument? Because I wanted to create anxiety and stress and as a way of distracting myself from what I was doing because I didn't believe I was good enough or worthy of the success. And I'd become an emotional wreck, and if the next day I happened to screw up, I could turn around and blame her and say, see what happened? I'm about to go on TV, or I went on TV, and because you argued with me all night and I didn't get any sleep, I couldn't think clearly. So her issues, her insecurities were her stuff. My issues and my insecurities and my self-doubt were my stuff. Look at your stuff. Do you need to succeed at all costs in your school test? Do you need to succeed no matter what? For example, regarding the foreclosure,
the meltdown,
the meltdown of the economy, the phenomena. There was a woman on the west coast of the U.S. who literally chained herself to a house to say, "You're not going to take this house away from me. You're not going to take me away from this house." She was being foreclosed. Well, immediately, I had a sense of compassion and empathy for someone who says, "I've been living in this house for 15 years." And I have to think to myself, well, how is it possible after 15 years that they're foreclosing on you? Well, then you dig a little deeper and you find out she had seven other homes. And of these seven other homes, this was not the first home that was being foreclosed. Most of those other homes had also been foreclosed. So in other words, she kept buying home after home after home. Why did this woman need seven homes? When is enough enough? So this woman was acting out of greed and fear, buying more and more and more. Do you need seven homes to be happy? Do you need to have that much money to be happy? You know, Jim, as I went through the VH1 show and talked about all these celebrity divorces, these are all classic examples of no amount of money, power, wealth, or fame can make you happy because these people are so unbelievably horrible to each other when they're divorcing. And there are examples of certain celebrities who are so deeply insecure. And I'll use this example. I live in South Beach. So I've been on a boat before, and you go past Shaquille O'Neal's house, and on his dock is this statue of Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball player. And it's on his dock to identify his house. And you have to ask yourself, what does this say about Shaquille O'Neal that he needs to have this large statue on his dock? Does it say something about his insecurity or his self-doubt? Why do you need to do that? And if you look through a lot of the patterns of our behavior, we will find examples where we're trying to mask ourselves or cover up. I know that as a child, I didn't get a lot of attention from my parents. So I spent most of my life trying to get lots of attention. I never felt that I was intelligent as a child, even though I excelled in my grades, because my parents didn't turn around when I was a child and say, "Patrick, you're really smart. Patrick, that's great." They always tell me that I wasn't doing good enough, no matter, whether I got A+, I needed to get A++ in everything. So I never felt intelligent enough. So what do? I spend most of my life trying to prove that I'm intelligent. So look at your stuff, look at your behavior, and say, where does it come from? If you're about to cheat, if you're about to lie, if you're about to steal, ask yourself, why? What am I trying to achieve here? And ultimately, really, we're just trying to create an emotion of excitement, an emotion of instant gratification. That's the same with what happened with Walmart, Jim. It's greed, it's fear. There might not be enough. I've got to hurry. At any cost, I'm ready to walk on someone, I'm ready to push everyone out of the way, I'm ready to hurt someone. I don't care, because all I want is I want to get that thing at the right price, that product. And that product's not going to make you any happier. You'll be happy for about a minute, 5 minutes, as you go into the car maybe, after you've checked out. Maybe as you go home and you shop, you go, look, I got this at 50% discount.
And then the next day you wake up and it's like, it's no big deal.
Exactly. I mean, look at how many people do the impulse buy, the emotional buy. Look around your house and look at how much stuff you're not even using, how much stuff you don't even notice anymore. The child whose bedroom is full of toys but doesn't even see the toys anymore. She just walks in and out. She doesn't see the toys anymore because the toys don't have any real meaning except the meaning we give them. And the only meaning we can give them lasts for a few moments. And then what happens? It's gone. It's worn out. So I think that, and I hope that, everything that we're seeing today, you know, whether it's what happened with Senator Larry Craig, what happened with Tim Marney, what happened with Mark Foley before him, what happened with Governor Elliot Spitzer, what happened with John Edwards, these are all classic examples of people who are sending the wrong messages to us. And we need to learn from these people. We need to stand back and say, do we want to be like these people? And again, to refer back to my discussions with this senior New York administrator of the school system in New York, I said to her, a great thing to teach your children is to find another hero. Because, you know, she says, you know, a lot of these kids cannot look up to their parents. Some of the parents don't even care about their grades. Or the parents have got their own problems. They've got addiction problems or drug problems. Or they're not home. Or it's a broken family. Or the parents got anger issues or other negative emotions or other outbursts.
Relationship issues, whatever. Yeah.
Right, exactly. The list does go on. So I humbly suggest for children or even teenagers or even adults, find another hero. Your hero doesn't have to be your parents. And it doesn't have to be a pop star or a rap star or a rock star. It doesn't have to be Paris Hilton or LL Cool J or any of these other celebrities. It should be someone with substance, and I'll come to that in a moment because I'm going to give you a really powerful exercise that everyone listening to can do right now. But I want to make a comment. You know, recently, LL Cool J was on Tyra. I didn't listen. I happened to have the TV on. It was on mute. And I just watched the body language. And before I even talk about the body language, he's on a set, he's wearing a hat, and he's got sunglasses on. Are you going to tell me that the lights of the TV set are so bright you need sunglasses? Or is that a lack of disrespect for the person that... Oh, no, it wasn't with Tyra. Sorry, it was with Rachel Ray. And I think to myself, LL Cool J, do you understand the message you're giving out? You're covering your eyes.
You're hiding.
You're hiding, exactly. As a body language expert, I say, if you're in a discussion with someone and they're either not looking at you, they're looking away, or they've got sunglasses on and you're not standing in the bright sunlight, they're trying to hide something. They're trying to cover up something. They're the people you don't trust. I know that in some cases, you know, a lot of these celebrities or artists feel the pressure to be cool, to be different, to be a trendsetter, to be unique, to be new. But putting on sunglasses only shows a lack of disrespect for the person you're talking to. Because what do? We say, eyes are the window to the soul. You wouldn't be looking in someone's eyes and saying how much you love them and care about and respect them with sunglasses on.
Mm.
But again, this is an example to say a lot of these pop stars and celebrities do not make for good heroes. And here is the exercise I wanted to share with you. I think this might be a good way to close this. If you're going to look for other heroes, because we cannot look up to a lot of these politicians, we might be able to with Barack Obama, but I'm not going to make that judgment. We know that a lot of them we haven't been able to look up to because they've blatantly lied, or they've only been interested in making more money. You know, corruption, greed, lies, fooling the people, selfishness, not caring about other people and not giving back. Find yourself another hero. So here's the exercise. Think of someone like a movie, not a movie actor, but a movie character. So, for example, I think of two movie characters that I like. One of them was Mel Gibson's portrayal of Lethal Weapon. And in that character, now whether you like Mel Gibson for the things he did outside of the movie is completely relevant in this case, because I'm referring to the character he plays. And the reason that I like that particular character is because Mel Gibson is willing, in this character, or his character is willing, to break the rules when necessary in order to do the right thing. Kiefer Sutherland's character does the same thing in Fox's 24. He breaks the rules when necessary to do the right thing, to help or protect or to serve the people. The other thing that the Lethal Weapon character does is he's always fighting to protect the woman. He's always fighting to protect the underdog. He's about justice, responsibility, morality, and doing the right thing. The other element or character that I like about him is he's a little kooky and a little crazy, and he likes to play pranks with his best partner, and he likes to tickle them and likes to have fun. He also is a very caring person, so you see the relationship he has with his partner's children and how warm and loving he is and how he feels sort of isolated, but he tries to connect with the family. So this guy is telling you how important a relationship is, how he's a protective person. He protects the woman that he loves. He's a caring person. He's a giving person. He's willing to do whatever it takes and whatever is necessary to do the right thing and to protect people. And he has a strong sense of character and morality. The other person that I look up to, again, as a movie character, that therefore gives to me the kind of values that I would relate to and connect and aspire to be, is Matt Damon's character, Jason Bourne, in The Bourne Ultimatum, The Bourne Supremacy, and The Bourne Identity. If you look at Jason Bourne, there are some clear values or clear character traits. Number one, this is a guy that's highly intelligent. He's great with his body, so he knows how to protect himself. He's very physical. He's very skilled. The third thing is that he's willing to do whatever it takes to find out who he really is, to learn his real identity. And that's a bigger, broader topic, which is he wants to know who he is, not just the name he's being given.
He also and other folks like Guy Finley have talked about that, and it's really the self-study of oneself.
The self-study of each one of us is critical to our inner peace and happiness. Jim,
absolutely.
It's taken me years, for a long time, to get to the place where I'm able to accept success, meaning I'm able to get on TV, make these appearances, and say, you know, I am okay. I am good enough for this. My message is relevant. My message is important, rather than trying to sabotage my success. And that's only come by asking myself, well, why do I doubt myself? Who taught me that? You know, what am I trying to prove? So, yes, being introspective, studying yourself is important. Briefly, in conclusion, some of the other character values or character traits of Jason Bourne is that this guy is willing to break the rules to do the right thing as well. He is, again, about justice and responsibility and accountability. So in The Ultimatum, you see him going to the length of he's willing to give up his life if need be. He's willing to sacrifice his life to expose the people that were killing innocent people and doing the wrong thing in order to do the right thing. Now, what I've given you there is an example of some of the things that are really important to me: accountability, responsibility, doing the right thing, protecting people, giving to people, making a difference. So if you're listening to this right now, find a new hero. Don't look at the celebrities like Paris Hilton who are not happy and who are empty. Don't look at the Peter Cooks of this world, or even the Christy Brinkleys, who are empty. They have the, you know, Christy Brinkley and Peter Cook had 18 homes.
Like they can live in all of them at the same time.
You know, how much is enough? Don't look at these people that appear to have a glamorous life, the princess life, or the prince's life, when that's not reality and that's not the truth. None of these people are giving back. None of these people are helping. None of these people are making a positive difference or contribution to anyone else's life. And that's why they're unhappy. And that's why Christy Brinkley's been married 4 times. That's why Peter Cook is screwed up. That's why Paris Hilton will have more problems as time proceeds, because they're not contributing. And in the end, they will become a victim rather than a victor. They won't feel powerful or empowered or energized because they're not helping other people. I just want to conclude this way, Jim, because I think this is the key point. Our greatest sense of satisfaction and fulfillment will come from learning our life purpose and mission, which is always about helping other people, making a positive difference, and contributing, even if it's making one person happier today or helping someone across the street. That's when you feel like, wow, my life has some meaning. Because no matter how many toys, how many gifts, how many cars, how many houses, how many yachts, how many boats, how many great parties or other things you accumulate or attend or are part of, you'll never feel fulfilled inside.
I think that's the truth, is what that is, what you just said.
And if I can humbly suggest and appeal to people, say, this is what I work towards, and I know that that's my lesson. My mission in life is to teach people that you are worthy and you deserve the best of everything. That's very different to, hey, I'm good, I'm so good, I must have everything. That's very different. You don't have to have everything. But just knowing that you deserve the best allows you to feel good about yourself. So when someone gives you a compliment or a gift, you don't say, oh, well, I had a bad hair day, or I wouldn't feel right accepting that. You receive it graciously, gratefully, and you're able to give back to others. And I think that's where we want to move towards now that we're starting a whole, hopefully a new movement that's more about, you know, I think that potentially, Barack Obama is beginning a new era with his ideology, which is about reform and change in the sense of, let's stop just trying to take and conquer and kill. Let's focus more on how can we help others, how can we live a well-balanced, meaningful life. And you know, he is a great example because he has a family, and you look at his family, and it appears, for the very least, that they're a cohesive family. His wife supports him. They look unified in what they do. At the very least, that's a great start, and that's a great example. And he appears to be living the principles that he's expounding. And I think that that's a great example. So, again, look for your own hero. It can be a religious figure. It doesn't matter who it is. But become aware of the values in these people that you are going to emulate, that you are going to aspire to be and to become like.
Right, right. And you know what, Patrick, to plug our own site at mysuccessgateway.com, we've got several people on the site that could easily be their heroes, and they can get access to this information by going to the podcast, you know, and getting a taste for what they're all about.
Yeah, I think you've got some great people, and I do also like some of the people that you highlight, such as Guy Finley. I like his message. I also want to say, if you listen to people such as Guy Finley and myself, don't necessarily make us your hero. Look at our values and our teachings and make that your hero. So when I say to you, find a movie character that you like, it's not that you're making the person the hero, you're making that character your hero via their qualities, their characters, their attributes.
Their message, their ideas.
Yes, the ideology and the message, that's your hero. Who you want to aspire to be or be like. What qualities and values do you want to develop and nurture and culture and grow within you?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to leave the listeners with this. I think the fastest way to get there, I think, is to be true to yourself. Follow through on your promises to yourself.
What a great message, Jim. I applaud you for that.
Well, Patrick, I can't thank you enough, and this has been an awesome conversation. This is Jim Peek at MySuccessGateway.com speaking with Patrick Wanis, and you can find him at PatrickWanis.com. Thank you, Patrick.
Thanks, Jim.